Amen. Would you like to sit? I think Lydia has given the sermon actually already. I want to talk about giving, though, if I may, today. Did you hear about the man who received a bill from his solicitor and rang the solicitor to ask how much he would charge to answer three questions? Well, £1,000, said the solicitor. Isn't that a bit much, said the man. Yes, it is, said the solicitor. What's your third question? Tough, isn't it? I want to speak about giving, as I said. And in the Bible, making an offering to God is an expression of our worship. Give your first and your best to the Lord. It's our sacrifice. It's the equivalent of what they did in the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament. And it may hurt your pocket, perhaps, because it's the best of what you have. But it's part of your worship to God. And it's also not something that we take as our initiative, but it's actually our response to a God who's given us so much already. As the Bible points out repeatedly in our readings and elsewhere, everything that we have comes from God. So all we're doing is giving back what belongs to him anyway and what came from him. In the first place, he's blessed us with so much generosity, so many good things that we're enjoying in this glorious summer, aren't we? And our offering to God is a thank offering, an expression of our gratitude. You can see that, I guess, at harvest time, can't you? When we bring to God the fruits of the earth, the things that have been grown in the fields and have been made in the factories and so on. But I guess the closest regular equivalent is our giving of money, and as Jane and John have pointed out, time and talents as well. The Bible baseline is that we should give a tenth, 10%. That's what we call tithing in the Bible. Now, I know today that's complicated by taxes and so on, which pay for some of the things that a tithe used to cover then, like social security and health care. So you could argue maybe 5% is more reasonable, or some people say take it from your net income rather than your gross income or whatever. But regular giving is an integral part of our worship to God, our sacrifice, our offering. It's a dedication of every aspect of our lives. And in Bible times, it included not just the crops from your fields, but also the livestock from your herds and your flocks, and even children. The firstborn child was dedicated to God. The first and the best belonged to God. So we don't give the surplus leftovers to him. We give the first fruits, not the unwanted and the poor quality, but the first and the best. What does the Bible say about that? Well, in Deuteronomy, it says each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord has blessed you. Hebrews says the descendants of Levi who become priests collect a tenth from the people. Proverbs says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Now, I think there's some principles in there. First of all, our giving should be regular. Paul says in Corinthians there, put aside a sum on the first day of every week. In other words, it should be a habit. It should be something that happens almost unconsciously for us. We're not to give as and when the mood takes us, spasmodically, but it should be part of our regular spirituality, the routine. Also, our giving should be our first priority. Paul says on the first day of every week, not the last day, when you work out what you've got left over. Offerings in the Old Testament were the first fruits, not the last fruits. And so God was to have the earliest and the best, the animal in the prime of life and not the runt of the litter. And I think the give as you earn scheme is actually very helpful there, because it helps me to remember and not to leave it all to the last minute. And then again, our giving should be proportionate. Each of you should set aside a sum in keeping with his income, in keeping with the way the Lord your God has blessed you in Deuteronomy. Now, obviously, wealthy people have more money, so they can afford to give more money. Poor people have less money, so they can afford to give less money. So that's why the Bible always talks about proportions, percentages, because that makes it fair, in keeping with income. Now, still, some people gave a bigger proportion. Jacob the swindler, you remember him in the Old Testament. Jacob gave a tenth. The devout Jew, we're told in the Old Testament, gave a sixth of his income. Zacchaeus, you remember little Zacchaeus who climbed up the tree and Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. How much did he give? A half of all that he possessed. The baseline is traditionally a tenth to God's work, whether it's to the local church or to charities you favour personally. But some commentators say, actually, that's Old Testament. Jesus never actually mentioned tithing. Jesus actually talked of giving everything to God. So top billing in the New Testament actually goes to the poorest person of all. Do you remember the widow, the poor widow who came and gave her 2 pennies, all that she had, to the temple coffers? And do remember, it wasn't a story that. Jesus actually pointed her out to the disciples as it happened, right in front of them. Then again, there was the rich young ruler from the other end of the income scale. He asked Jesus, what do I need to do? Jesus gave him some of the commandments. He said, no, I've done all those. Jesus said, one thing you lack, sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Oh, and Hudson Taylor, who also gave all that he had. That's tough, isn't it? Tough standard, tough examples. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, each person should decide in their heart what they should give, and give that, not reluctantly, but cheerfully. And perhaps the most important principle is that our giving should be generous, because God's been generous to us. Many Christians have found that actually when they do this, what they have left somehow seems to cover every need. The 90% that you have left seems to go further than the 100% used to. Now, maybe this is new to you and maybe it's too challenging to start with. You might start with a lesser percentage and perhaps build it up. Some Christians find they can stretch their giving to a higher percentage still. I want to distinguish just briefly between planned giving and spontaneous giving, because our regular giving is planned. That's what I've been talking about up to now, the appropriate thing to do with a regular monthly income. And in Scripture, that's viewed as our duty. It should be willing and generous, as we heard in our reading, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So we should ask ourselves there, am I glad of my regular income? And if so, then we can give thanks to God in our regular giving. It's a worship offering to God. And it's an upward spiral. It brings thanksgiving and blessing and joy. One Christian I know told me he'd had an excellent working day distributing sums of money to charity and felt really good about it. So if you're feeling down, you might say, okay, today then I'm going to give to God's work and to the needy. And if you've already set the money aside anyway, then giving it becomes the fun part. But there's also spontaneous giving, reaction and response to need. And that's the appropriate thing to do with a bonus or an occasional payment or a dividend, a windfall, a legacy of some sort. Now, I know maybe some people are actually paid that way or have an irregular income. And I want to thank you all for your giving, because we are generous givers and good at responding to particular needs when those needs are told to us. But I think it's our regular planned giving that needs our attention particularly. And that's something that we really need to increase year on year if we can. Our budget goes to all sorts of things. The vast majority of it, I think 65% there of the pie chart, goes actually to the parish share, which is supplies the ministry of, well, for me here in the parish and also for the diocese. But there are also other factors like church running expenses and repairs and maintenance, and then just over 10% on our giving to missions and charities. So it's going to good causes. Here's a silly little calculation. If all 62 of us on the electoral roll were earning the current state pension of £107 a week and we tithed it, then we would cover our current church income. And it goes without saying that some of us have more than the state pension coming in. We read in our reading, "Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." You can hear the generosity in that, can't you, of God. It's tremendously rewarding, and it can even be fun. So just to summarise, generous giving is the standard New Testament principle, because God provides us with all the resources that we need, but we have to be faithful in using those for his service. Also, it should be the first fruits and not the last or the leftovers. God must have first place in both life and finances, not last place. And it should be proportionate, a sum in keeping with our income. In other words, a tithe. If you earn more, you give more. That's fair. Take a percentage of your income and give that. And it should be planned, because it's good for our spiritual health to plan our giving and to worship God with our offerings. Just as we should set aside a regular time for God and use our talents for God, so we should also set aside a regular amount for God too, and not just whatever we have in our pockets at the time. Our regular giving then covers our regular expenditure, and our one-off gifts, perhaps from bonuses or legacies, should cover one-off projects. If you want to know more, then there are forms at the back, and I'm sure Lynn, our treasurer, would be able to help. Let's just pray, if we may, and ask God to guide us and lead us and to bless us in our giving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good things that you generously pour out upon us, your people. And we pray that we might respond to be generous like you in our offerings, in our worship, with our money and our time and our talents. Help us, Lord, to be like you, for Christ's sake. Amen.